Okay, appreciate those testimonies this morning. Let's look to the Lord in prayer as we begin. Our gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us and working in lives. And we pray for those that have come into our Sunday school hour, Lord, with needs upon their heart. We pray that you would guide and direct them in each and every way. We pray that you would cause us to look up to thee and to know that you do all things well. We do pray that as we look at your word today, pray that you give us insight, understanding, and that we might make application to our personal lives and that it might affect our manner of living and behavior and outlook. And we pray and thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, about 6 or 7 months ago or so, we did 1 Timothy, or I did, teaching, so forth. Now, I want to just review a few minor points that relate to the background of Timothy. And of course, where there's 1 Timothy, there's 2 Timothy, so to speak. And to realize, of course, this is one of the pastoral epistles and addressed to the pastor of the church, which was Timothy, believed to be at the church of Ephesus. And Timothy was a native of Laodicea and particularly the city of Lystra, more than likely Lystra, believed to be. And also to realize that his mother and grandmother are specifically mentioned in the book, and realizing that they were Jewish folks from that side of the family. It's believed that his father was a Greek and possibly not saved, as it were. And to realize that Paul, when he was at Lystra, stoning of Paul. You remember the account. And after he was stoned at Lystra, and he later went on to go back to Lystra again. And we noted last time we were studying 1 Timothy, realizing how much faith Paul had to go back to the place where he was stoned at one particular time. You know, if you have something that happens to you and it's on the level of danger and you go back to it again, you know, you think, oh, do I really want to do that, so to speak? But Paul knew what he had to do. He had a commission, a purpose, and so forth. And it's in terms of Ephesus, Paul stayed longer at Ephesus than at any other place. Ephesus was considered a very wicked city. And you recall, maybe you can have a picture in your mind. You know, when you see something in a picture, it tends to hit your memory a little bit better. But we were talking about archaeology and so forth way back when, where in Ephesus was the Temple of Artemis, or Latin Diana, was one of the wonders of the ancient world at that particular time. And this particular building was 163 by 342 feet, and of course 342 larger than a football field. Had 117 columns, had brilliant colors, and the roof had white marble tiles, so forth. And of course, this is built to honor the goddess Diana. So we can see they were steeped in paganism, so forth. But within was a carved image of Artemis, which they had said what had fallen down from heaven and so forth. And you remember the account concerning the silversmiths in Ephesus was a booming business. They were making replicas of these little shrines of concerning this goddess and the temple and so on. Also, we had looked at an amphitheater that used to seat about 25,000 people. And so we see that Paul is writing a second letter to Timothy, and believed to have been done during Paul's second imprisonment, written from Rome. And one tradition states that Timothy died at Ephesus and was subsequently removed to Constantinople. That's just a few background highlights, really, from our previous look at the 1 Timothy. So that's basically all we're going to consider for the introduction. And so, 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you're not there already, you can turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. It'll be our focus of attention. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And let's look, of course, at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm reading 1 Timothy. Let's try again. 2 Timothy. Okay, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. I know it sounded familiar anyway. And so we see Paul the apostle. In the general sense, the word apostle can mean a delegate, an envoy, or a messenger. And by this definition, if you look at the slide, it says an apostle is one who is sent on a mission carrying proper credentials from one sending him. What were the credentials that Paul had, so to speak? It kind of states it in the verse itself, I guess you could say. What are his credentials? Let me see. He was about 5 foot, 7 inches tall. What were his credentials? Well, to realize, it says, by the will of God. In other words, according to divine will. And, you know, we see that someone that has a purpose in life and a realization that God has called them, and in this case, called them to apostleship, to get out the gospel, and realizing that these are important days, they were, and they are today as well, in terms of getting the gospel and spreading the gospel by the will of God, according to the promise of life. To carry out this great purpose of salvation or eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus. So to realize that a message is at the heart of Paul's ministry, a message that people need to be saved. They're going to be lost. They are lost and going to hell. And so a purpose and a reason for doing something. And, you know, perhaps you go around and do things around your house and so forth, and you're carrying on your day-to-day tasks, maybe your mind wanders a little bit, and you start doing something. I don't know, probably all of you aren't almost 60 like I am, as some of you are older, but and then you stop and realize, why am I why am I doing this? Anybody ever have that happen? You start okay, a few of you admitting it, others not. Why am I doing this? What's the purpose? Or maybe you think there's a purpose, and you get involved in a task, and you spend hours and hours, and you kind of regroup a little bit and think, is this really important? But Paul had a type of ministry that was extremely important, the getting out of the gospel. And so God had called him to this apostleship. One that's sent on a mission carrying out proper credentials from one sending. And, of course, the Lord God of heaven was the one sending for this purpose. And so if there was no promise of life, this gospel wouldn't be necessary. This apostleship wouldn't be necessary. But there is a promise of eternal life through Jesus Christ. So it's great to have a purpose. And we need to have a purpose in our heart to live for the Lord. And remember the book of Daniel, it says Daniel purposed in his heart, and he was a type of person that was set on a particular mission to accomplish. You know, if you're excited about a task to do, it makes all the difference in the world. And, you know, maybe some of you remember when you were younger and you were had to do chores at home, and you just were not into it, you know, and maybe it was sweeping the floor, and, you know, you just, because you wanted to be somewhere else. You wanted to be down the street playing soccer or doing this or that, or the heart really wasn't there. But if your heart is into something, you know, I always get a kick out of the fact of, shoveling snow, you know, as a kid and so forth. You know, if you have the what you think is drudgery, you know, you got to shovel the walk or shovel the driveway, and, you know, maybe the snow is all wet and heavy, and you're trying to pick up the shovel, and this is terrible, woe is me, I hate this job. And then all of a sudden your friend comes over after you're done, and you decide to build a snow fort. Let's shovel here, let's roll this ball out. This is so exciting, and all of a sudden it changed because your heart is into it. And, you know, you think about the task of the gospel. Is our heart into it? Paul's heart was, is ours. All right, let's look at verse number 2. It says, "To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God and the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." And so we find in the first verse tells us who the letter was written from, the Apostle Paul. In the second verse, it's who the letter was written to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. And those are special words, you might say. Perhaps, very possibly, Timothy was converted through Paul's ministry, or it might be perhaps terms of endearment of his relationship to Timothy. The Bible doesn't really tell us that he directly converted Paul through the gospel ministry, but it's very possible that was the case. So, terms of endearment. And so as he begins this letter, he says, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord." And we have a couple of definitions you're probably familiar with. And grace, God giving us what we don't deserve. Can you think of something you don't deserve in light of God's grace? What is there something you don't deserve? All right, salvation. We don't deserve salvation. And then mercy is when God doesn't give us what we do deserve. What do we deserve? What do we deserve in terms of, in relation to life, so to speak? A hand? Yes. Okay, death and hell. All right. We deserve hell, and to realize that God's mercy is upon us by not giving us what we deserve, death, hell, punishment, so to speak. And so, you know, maybe at times your parents let you off the hook, so to speak, on something and gave you mercy on a particular situation. And so, and then the last one, peace. Now, God's grace and mercy. Grace was a common greeting among the Gentile believers. Peace was a particular thing that the Jews spoke of oftentimes as shalom. And now we think about the earthly realm. What kind of things come to your mind? It doesn't necessarily have to be spiritual in nature, but what comes to your mind when you think of peace? Does something come to your mind, David? What's that? Being bored. Did you say bored? Yeah. Being bored. Okay, maybe that's peace. There's some people around that would like to be bored for a while. Perhaps some of you adults, maybe, would like, can I be just bored for a while, perhaps? What else comes to your mind? And people might have different mental images. Yes?
When the children are all asleep.
Children are all asleep. Oh, maybe it's when the school bus comes, right? So to speak. Children are all asleep. Peace. And any other things, mental images come to your mind? Yes? I have a little trouble hearing with the agreement. Okay. All right. Now, when you think about, I think about peace is standing in the river with my fly rod. That's a peace. And I remember once in northern Maine, standing in the stream, and coming along the side of the stream was a big old mama moose, and just seeing the moose by the stream. And another time, looking upstream and seeing some mother deer with some fawns walking across the stream, and just the serene beauty of the northern Maine woods. Okay. Has a little mental picture in my mind. Any other peaceful thoughts? Yes? All right. Okay. That's right. Yeah, I have on my cell phone screen, I now have a Maine lake with a sunset on, so to speak. But that same main lake, a few days later, the waves were so big that I couldn't get out in my boat. White caps, you know. So, all right, any other piece? Yes. Okay. All right. Now at peace. All right. We think of absence of conflict. And Donna was talking about family arguments. And, you know, maybe your family has had a few arguments over the years. And to be at peace makes such a big difference. And you think about family, sometimes some of the, looking back, maybe some of the quote, silly things that, you know, used to argue about. You look back now, and you look back in the total picture of life, and it, you know, seems a little silly, so to speak, some of the things that we as human beings argue about, especially thinking of a household setting, so to speak. All right, so we have peace, and so he gives this particular greeting, mercy and peace from God, and so we see the source of these things, grace, mercy, and peace from God, the source of all peace, mercy, and grace, the Father, God the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord. So he gives this particular greeting to him. And then in verse 3, it says, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. And so, you know, I was reading that and I was thinking about the term forefathers, you know. We know what the word means, but kind of brought to mind that in today's generation, you know, there's some young people that they might feel like they have forefathers. You know, I remember a family many, many years ago that, you know, children, you know, with literally four different last names in the siblings that were living together and so forth. But it's not talking about forefathers and four, but that's not what we're talking about. But he looked back historically, you might say, and we know that the Apostle Paul came from what tribe? Anybody remember? Yes? Okay, Benjamin. Okay, from the tribe of Benjamin. So he had a heritage, thank God whom I serve from my forefathers. And so there were those in his heritage that served God. And then he mentions with a pure conscience or a clean or pure conscience, morally speaking, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So a continual remembering of Timothy and so forth. I have remembrance of thee. So he's looking back historically at his forefathers who also served God, and to realize, of course, Paul later in life came to grips with eternal salvation through Jesus Christ, and met him on the road to Damascus and so forth. So without ceasing, in other words, a continual basis. It didn't mean that every second of every day that he was praying, but we can have a heart of prayer. We can have an often remembering, a continuing. In other words, let's say 10 days ago I remember to pray for you, or 20 days ago, it wasn't like that. It was a continual basis that he has remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night. Now, if you're praying for someone, even on a daily basis, that person is on your heart. You know, you might remember to pray once a week or every 10 days for someone, you might say, far away, or someone that you're not real close to. Perhaps there's an element of concern there. But to pray daily for someone is on your heart, perhaps someone that you love. So we see a relationship between Paul and Timothy. They were close. Paul was concerned about him. And your earthly family, you probably remember to pray about for on a daily basis, but also your spiritual family in terms of the body of Christ. You may have some that you're concerned about that you pray for daily. So to pray without ceasing. We know another Bible verse that mentions that as well. Okay, let's look at verse 4. Peter and Pastor didn't tell me how many weeks I have to do this or to do this lesson. So I don't know if it'll be Thanksgiving or Christmas or they say, hey, get out of here. We don't want you here anymore. So we'll see what happens here. But in verse number 4, it says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And so, greatly desiring to see thee. So that is a term or a phrase that depicts the fact there was a closeness between Paul and Timothy. If there's a great desire to see someone, maybe you have a brother or sister that you haven't seen for a while. Maybe they live far away, and you just want to get there. You want to take make a sacrifice. Maybe it's a week-long vacation to travel to this particular place. Or if you were to fly, you're paying money to buy an airline ticket because this person is special to you, and so forth. And it's important. There's a greatly desiring to see thee. Continuing on in verse 4, to see thee being mindful of thy tears. So he is saying that Timothy had tears, and it doesn't exactly tell us why. There's no details given. It might be because of the fact that they hadn't seen each other a while. They were separated. Or maybe Paul wanted to help Timothy with his particular burdens in the local church, and Timothy wanted Paul to be there, and Paul was unable to be there and to minister to him, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. And I know if you're separated from your spouse, not using anybody as an illustration, but separated from your spouse for a long period of time, there could be some tears there and a desire to see and so forth. Or maybe it's a mother or father or grandmother and you want to get to see. There is a particular need there. And so tears being shed on a particular issue. Any comments that you have up through verse 4? We'll reiterate again. I am just slightly hard of hearing. My wife puts it beyond the slightly point, but maybe that's selective hearing. I don't know. I didn't hear you say that. Did you say anything? So if you speak up, if you're making comments, plus the AC is on upstairs as well. So anyways, any have comments through verse number 4? Anything you see here that I didn't mention, perhaps? Yes. You have to turn the volume up a little bit. Being mindful of thy tears. Okay, being mindful. In other words, he's realizing that Timothy was sorrowful. And we're not sure exactly why, whether it's just the fact that they missed each other in the ministry, or he wanted to ask Paul more questions on a personal basis. But in other words, he's realizing that Timothy was sad about something, or his heart was broken. So being mindful of thy tears. All right, let's see. And it says, that I may be filled with joy. So that's that statement at the end, that I may be filled with joy. Great. And that joy could be fulfilled if he actually got to see him on a personal basis. To realize back then, of course, things were different. They couldn't even text each other. It just couldn't happen. And if they were to send some kind of a letter, it would take time for delivery, so to speak. And, you didn't have the Facebook and all these modern technology things that we have today. So, and I can remember when I was in college, I had a girlfriend back home. It was Debbie Burgess. I think you might know her and so forth. But we used to write letters. And I was only 5 hours away as far as a drive. But we'd write letters or could make a phone call once a week or so. Or it would cost me about $2.95 for 3 minutes on the payphone in the dorm. Okay, pretty sure that was what it was, $2.95, 3 minutes, you know, and, you know, you'd hear this lady's voice come on, and you would, if you would like more time, you would have to deposit another blah, 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 blah for another 3 minutes or another so many minutes. I need to deposit more money. And, of course, college students aren't rich, even though the first college semester cost $1,400 for half the year, so to speak. Things were a little different, but money was still tight, so to speak. All right. So times have changed. Now you know my age and so forth. But greatly desiring to see you. Let's look in verse 5. Verse number 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Okay, so he is thinking or calling a remembrance, considering his Timothy's relatives, first of all, and the faith that is in thee, faith that is in thee. So he recognized particular faith, describes it as unfeigned faith. I think I'm a little behind in my slides here, so I've got to do a little backsliding, I guess. All right, so greatly desiring, figured I'd slide that one in. All right, next case. We see unfeigned faith, a faith that is genuine, sincere, without hypocrisy. That's the kind of faith that's described. So Paul is looking at Timothy's life as unfeigned faith, and then he's looking at Timothy's relatives, first in thy grandmother Lois. So apparently, time-wise, that Lois was the first saved in the family, as it were, being a sincere believer in Christ. And so, and then it says, "in thy mother Eunice." So we have Lois and Eunice. And so the Bible doesn't tell us a lot about these folks. Now, there's another passage that talks about the relationship to the Scriptures. Does anybody remember that passage? Concerning these individuals. Or, well, it gives a hint toward, let's say, "and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make these wise unto salvation," and so forth. And so we see that Timothy was probably taught in the Word of God, have a mother and a grandmother. And now it's so special to have a grandparents or parents that love the Lord and are seeking to raise their children in the things of God. And some of you can look back to your grandparents in terms of special memories because of their Christian faith, to realize how stalwart they were in the things of God. And perhaps there's times where a grandmother can have more of an influence than a mother at particular times in a child's life. So if you're a grandparent, consider the importance of that particular relationship and seeking to train people. So I know that nobody perhaps has coined the expression that I know of, but to be a Lois, be a Lois. Not below us, but be a Lois. All right, don't get confused there. But in terms of, you know, we talk about in the Scripture, let's dare to be a Daniel, so to speak. Dare to be a Lois, someone that upheld the Word of God and considered it important in one's life and tried to pass the baton on to your family. Any comments there? Any comments? Yes.
The influence we have on those around us, our children and grandchildren and such, as we do that, I think it's important to Timothy was because their faith was genuine, sincere, without hypocrisy. And one of the things that I learned through different methods is how our kids really can see through these things in our lives. And the important thing that we influence our kids is that they see our Christianity as something real, something that works, something that, that they see us depending on. And I think that was the case with Lois and Eunice, that their faith was such that it impacted Timothy because it was real. It was real. It wasn't, they just didn't talk a lot of God talk. They actually acted through.
All right. And we can ask ourselves the question, are you the same person at church as we are at home, so to speak, in terms of character and so forth? All right. Any other thoughts? That's a good comment. All right. I think this would be a good stopping point. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious Father, we thank you for these truths. We thank you for the Apostle Paul, his relationship to thee, and his desire to see the gospel go forward. And we know that that influence of his ministry has been passed down through the centuries in the work that you called him to do as an apostle. We pray that you'd help us to see the need, to see the work, and to see people as they are in their particular need of salvation. We ask your blessing on our church service to follow. Bless Pastor as he preaches this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.